Hello, guys. I miss being with you today. I'm actually with our dear friend Kent Christmas in Nashville, Tennessee, celebrating his church's 11th year anniversary. This is my last Sunday that I'll be out of the pulpit for quite some time, so thanks for your grace. I say this over and over again, but our church exists for others. Sometimes in the church, we get so involved in our activities that we actually forget that we're here to serve others. There's an old saying that says, we can't see the forest for the trees. I think sometimes it's like that in church. But going into 2019, I want to refresh our vision for reaching the lost. Each of us needs to know how to present the gospel in our own context. So today, I'm going to introduce you to a man who does this as well as anyone I've ever encountered. Lynn and Nancy Berry are IPA missionaries to Spain. Fountain of Life supports them, and we're so thankful that we get to link arms with this wonderful couple. They've been there for over 30 years. They've raised up numerous leaders, planted numerous churches. They started an entire conference in Spain, and now Lynn has been assigned as the regional director for all of the Mediterranean for IPHC missions. So one cool fact about Lynn and Nancy is that they were former hippies from the Outer Banks. So they're like home folks, and we love them dearly. If you go to the IPHC Leadership Podcast and look at one of the most recent ones they did, there's one called The Art of Reaching the Lost, where they interview Lynn Berry, and he's a master at reaching people in their context. So we're blessed to have them today. Let's stand to our feet, let's put our hands together, and let's welcome missionary Lynn Berry to Fountain of Life.
Thank you so much, and first a few words from my sponsor.
Well, it is a tremendous joy to be here. I've been very excited. You've got a happy church. I like to be happy, and I have not always been happy all the time, but I have found in the Lord that He gives me joy and great joy. As your pastor was explaining that recently, in around January, was when the Lord expanded our territory. And I want to just give a little testimony about sometimes some things can happen to a person when they're given a greater territory to oversee. I became very, very sick, almost to the point that I asked God to take me with Him, to take me home to be with Him if He was not going to heal me. I'd gotten to that point. 2 to 3 months, I couldn't even hardly get out of the bed. I was so very sick. And my husband got very upset with the enemy, because that's what we have to do. We have to stomp our feet and say, no more, and Satan, you don't have my life in your hands. Because we serve a God who has the control and who has the last word in our lives. And he woke me up in the middle of the night, and I was going through times that I could not sleep because I was so miserable feeling. He woke me up and he said to me, your winter is over. And I go, right, yeah. You know, sometimes that happens. And there's many times God lets certain things to happen to you because He's getting ready to move you up to the next level. There's some of you here that God is calling you out, and He's moving you up to the next level. And you think during this trying time that you're going through that the Lord is mad at you, or you're not overcoming and you're being defeated. I want to say to you that you're not being defeated. God has allowed certain things to happen in your life to stir you to say, for you to rise up and say, I am an overcomer. And from that point, I began to get better and better and better. And God has completely, totally healed me. And before that happened, I was really powerful in deliverance and setting people free. And I had gone through a moment that I felt like I was not set free at all. We serve a God who is a bondage breaker. He breaks in us, And we have to take hold of what God said over you, not what the enemy is saying over you or what you think in your mind. You might think that you're no good, but I want to say you believe the report of our Lord God, and you are an overcomer. Believe that. What we were singing earlier, that was very anointed, all the worship, the words, and you were being released right down here to be released in what God wants to do in your life. Respond to it.
Amen. Nancy is also the director of the World Intercessors Network for Europe and the Middle East. And she knows something about praying, you know. And believe me, if you need somebody, if you need prayer before you leave here, she'll pray for you. And something will happen. I believe that. Well, it's good to be with you. My name is Lynn Berry, and my wife Nancy, and we are missionaries, your missionaries, because this church prays for us and supports us with offerings and makes it possible for us to move and minister in 21 nations around the Mediterranean Sea. That's most of, well, it's all of Southern Europe, every country in Southern Europe, and most of North Africa, and used to be the Roman Empire, and then something happened. And today, what used to be the birthplace and the cradle of Christianity has become the mission field. Let's pray that doesn't happen in your city, in your country, in your family. Things like that can happen, I don't believe, as long as Fountain of Life and Harvest Fest and you're worshiping the way you're worshiping. I don't think it's going to happen in Elizabeth City, because I believe that God has strategically placed someone to stand in the gap for this part of the world and also for the other parts of the world. So first of all, let me say thank you. I wanted to say also thank you to all of our veterans. I myself am a Vietnam era veteran. And so, yes, we were hippies, you know, but that, I didn't run away to Canada. I did my part. But then afterwards, I had a second life, you know. And that's another story that we won't talk about from the pulpit. Thank God for deliverance, like Nancy said, you know. He brings us out. But it's good to be with you. We feel very at home. And the first thing I want to say to you is, I don't feel like the Lord sent me here today to be with you really so much for what I'm going to give to you, although you're going to be blessed because the Word of God will never return void. Amen. But I really believe the main reason God sent Nancy and I here this morning was to worship with you, and so that He Himself could do a blessing that we need in our own life. I feel like we're here for us, and maybe a little bit for you, but a whole lot for us. And it's just been a blessing to worship God with you. Please turn with me, if you will, or light up your phone and the application or iPad or whatever you do nowadays. And let's all look for a moment at Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. We'll read a few verses of scripture and we'll quote some others. And Romans 14, verse 17, with your permission, I'm going to go rather quickly as I read. Romans 14, verse 17, some of you can cite this from memory. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's King James. New King James, joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the kingdom of God is not about physical things. It's not about meeting our needs personally. It's not about survival. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God goes much deeper than the mere worldly things that every one of us need to exist. The kingdom of God goes deeper than anything we have imagined or anything we could think, because it cuts all the way down to righteousness and peace, and above all other things, joy in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Takes my phone up just a little bit longer to find it, because I'm the one pushing the buttons. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. I like to read this in the whole context. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Neither be ye sorry. This is a holy day. And you know, if it's a holy day, it's a happy day. Amen. If it's a holy day, it's a happy day. It's not a day to be sad. It's not a day to be in mourning. This is a holy day. This is the first day of the week. This is the day we begin our week. We are Christians. You know, the Christians met on the first day of the week. Why did they do that? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. The church meets on the first day of the week. What we do the first thing in the day, the first day of the week, is we are establishing a pattern for our entire week. We're establishing a pattern of worship. We're establishing a pattern of joy. We're establishing a pattern of strength and anointing that today will follow us all week long. Therefore, this is a holy day. This is a happy day. This is not a day to be sorrowful, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise God. And then we know from Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, you will show me the path of life in your presence. Can you say in his presence? In his presence, there is fullness of joy at the right hand of God, pleasures forevermore. Father, we thank you today for your presence in this place, because in your presence there is joy, and we've sung with joy, and we've worshiped you, Lord, with joy in our heart. But Lord, now as we open your word, we pray that you will manifest your presence in and through the word, and Lord, manifest greater joy and greater rejoicing in this house, Lord, we pray. Extend your hand and bless your people, for the glory and honor of God, that the world might be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And Jesus Christ will be praised. In his name we pray, amen. In Spain, we've been living for 32 years. And we have a song that we like to sing in church. And I'll have to sing it in Spanish. It doesn't really translate. I'll give you the translation. It goes something like this. Este gozo que tengo yo, el mundo no me lo dio, el mundo no me lo dio, como no me lo dio, no me lo puede quitar. What does that mean? Anybody speak Spanish in here? Nobody? Amazing. Somebody. It means this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it to me, as the world didn't give it to me, it can't take it away. And that's what we have. I want to speak to you on the subject today, stir up the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your portion. It is your anointing. The joy of the Lord is something that the world does not have. The only place on this planet I visit, I have, like I said, 21 countries in the Mediterranean region. I visit regularly. I go there, live there, speak several of the languages. I enjoy, thank God for that assignment. It's a great assignment. But I want to say this. There's not a lot of joy there. If you want to find joy in Greece, you've got to find a church to find joy. If you want to find joy in Morocco, you've got to find a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost living in the presence of God, because you will not find it anywhere else. You can find a lot of anger. You can find a lot of drunkenness. You can find a lot of vice. You can find pornography anywhere you look for it, but you will not find the joy of the Lord. You will not find a truly happy, peaceful, righteous person unless you find someone who has been born again and who is living in the presence of the Prince of Peace, because in his presence there is fullness of joy, and his word will never return void. He is not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not a covenant breaker. He's not a Indian giver. He is Lord God Almighty, and his joy, your joy, our joy, friend, that is our anointing, that is our strength, that is our advantage, that is what we have to give that cannot be counterfeited, it cannot be taken away from us, it cannot be destroyed. Amen. And I just want to say to you, stir up the joy. Now, I wondered when I walked in this morning, I said, Lord, why did you inspire me to talk about this? Because I feel like there's a pretty high level of joy in the house. I thought, you ever get there? Some of you who might preach say, well, you know, I got there and the church was already in revival. They were more revived than I was. So maybe I'm just speaking to myself and maybe I'm just preaching to me today. But I got a feeling maybe there's something in here that I've got that the Lord will just affirm with somebody. And if that's you, then just receive it as a word, a rhema word from the Lord God for you, if it's just for one person. But I want to say, stir up the joy. Stir up the joy. The world needs the joy. The world needs that more than anything else that we have. It's not about theological debates, and it's not about arguments, and it's not about shaking our fist in the air and picking fights with other people and trying to distinguish ourselves because of our eloquence or because of our prosperity or because of our heritage or because of our culture or any other thing that we might boast and puff our chest out about. The one thing that will distinguish us among all of the things is we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I tell you, folks, that there was a time when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was expanding from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the way to the other parts of the earth, the end of the earth in those days, in the early Bible days. That was the Mediterranean region. And everywhere it went with great joy and great power. Because where there is great joy, there is great power. Where there is great joy, the presence of God will break the yoke. Hallelujah. Where there is great joy, there were two men. They were cast into prison one time. Everything was against them. They were mistreated and falsely accused and beaten down because they had committed the crime of casting out a demon. But while they were in that prison, they just let the joy overflow out of their heart. They stirred up the joy. They stirred up the presence of God. They stirred up some praise in their heart. And that joy that was stirred up by Paul and Silas in that Philippian jail broke the yoke, and it stirred up, literally broke down the walls, and an earthquake of strength fell upon that place. And not only were their bonds released, but then out of that joy and out of that miracle, a whole family and then a city and was saved, and a church was started, and it stands today. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. What Paul wrote to that church a few years later, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He said, I have learned, when he's writing from prison again, this time in Rome, he said, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, whatever thing that's going on in my life, I've learned that this is not about material things. The kingdom of God's not my material condition, but it's righteousness, peace in the Lord. Therefore, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And if you have to, think on this and think on that. Think on the joy of the Lord. Think on the things God has done. Think on who He is. If there's any good and noble thing worthy of praise, think on these things. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Stir up joy. Stir up joy, church. Stir it up in your life. I wonder sometimes, because even Christians sometimes fall into the trap of depression. I'm not here to say there's not a thing against. I'm not against depression. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to insult or diminish anyone's suffering. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to recognize the reality that a lot of people come to church and they don't feel the joy of the Lord. For whatever reason, there are many reasons, and some of them are emotional, and some of them are spiritual, and some of them might even be chemical imbalances. Who knows? God knows. But we know that in His presence, there is fullness of joy. If you're here today, a miracle is here today. The presence of God is here today. He can break the yoke. He can deliver you. He can pull you out. He can give you a new hope. He can do something in your life today. He's here today to bring you out. That's why you came today, because you have an appointment with Jesus, but you have an appointment with the joy of the Lord, that you might go out of this place full of light and full of hope and full of joy, and your life then will radiate out, and you'll be radioactive, and joy will contaminate this downtrodden, depressed, and angry place that we live in called the United States. Amen. USA needs joy. Amen. There's a war going on, if you don't know it, and the atomic weapon of the enemy is anger and depression and strife and division. But we folks can come together in the joy of the Lord and heal the land and stand in the gap for it. I wonder about why it is so many times we as Christians fall in the trap and our joy is not full. You know, it talks about that your joy might be full. You know, that's also in the Bible. And sometimes our joy just kind of seems to leak out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We still believe the Bible. We're still congregating. We're still coming to church. We're still paying our tithe. And we're still doing. We're going through the motions. But somehow, the joy it's become boring. It's become routine. It's not the same that it used to be. And let me suggest to you the most common reason for that, not the only reason, but the most common reason for that is a word called unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will attack your joy. Unforgiveness, when you have made a mistake, when you have sinned that's not confessed, when you have done something that is not in character, not your character, not in character with Jesus, when there is a break in the intimacy and the love and the communion and the sense of forgiveness between you and God, something happens to joy. It seems to just take a step back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Many of us have had that experience. We come to God, we receive Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful joy, the joy of salvation. But then something happens and we slip, and there it goes, the joy. And we go through cycles of forgiveness, repentance, until one day we just give up. Anybody else been like that? I've been there. And you just sit back and you say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And you start to justify your failure, and you start to justify all of these things. Instead of going to God and asking for forgiveness, you just kind of cross your arms and you look around and say, well, I'm better than that guy. And, well, you know, she shouts a lot, but you ought to see her when she leaves church. And we begin to justify ourselves, but we still got that unforgiveness sitting out there, because unforgiveness will stand between you and joy.
Amen.
Sometimes we have bitterness towards someone else. Sometimes there are things in our life, it's not so much about God forgiving us, but we need to forgive someone else. And if you've got something between you and that person, between you and your brother, something that is hindering the flow of intimacy, you know what hinders the flow of intimacy? Unforgiveness. So when we deal with unforgiveness, and we're going to do that before I hang up this microphone, but we're going to deal with unforgiveness today. And when you deal with unforgiveness, here's what's going to happen. God's going to forgive. And when He forgives, the think in English again, the fountain, the faucet is opened, and joy can flow. We're going to turn it back on and let the joy flow again in your life. Praise God.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast.
of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me, it caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or until you hear us next time, God bless, and go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.